Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Our guest today is Professor Emeritus Ivan Vandenplas. He held his post, or still holds his post, at the Free University of Brussels, where he did his medical studies, and where he trained in pediatrics. He then went on to become head of the unit for pediatric gastroenterology and nutrition there, creating a pediatric hospital at the University Hospital of Brussels. He was the chair of pediatrics from 1994 until 2021, and we're very grateful to have the benefit of his experience and his wisdom here with us today. The topic on which he has chosen to speak is that of biotics, that of substances added to food that are purported to be useful in maintaining health. But there are so many different kinds of biotics, too many for me really to have an overview and to understand the reasons for putting them to use in pediatric nutrition. I'd like, therefore, you to start by explaining to me, and possibly for others in our listening audience, exactly what kind of biotics exist, how they're defined, and if after all that we have time, how to use them.
Okay, fine. There are indeed a lot of different biotics that can be and which are added to infant formula. But I would like to start my answer in a different way. The best feeding for infants is mother's milk, breastfeeding. And mother's milk does contain a lot of different biotics. So mother's milk does contain probiotics, prebiotics, symbiotics, and postbiotics.
Four categories already.
Yes. And so the prebiotics, which are in mother's milk, that's what we call the human milk oligosaccharides. So that's in fact, there are two different families of prebiotics which can be added to infant formula. Those of human origin, or at least which are manufactured in a laboratory, but which are identical to the structure of these in mother's milk, and those which are plant-based, so which have a different structure than those in mother's milk. So, and why is that important? Because what is known since many years is that the gastrointestinal microbiota the bacteria in the gastrointestinal tract of the baby, they depend on many factors, but also and mainly feeding is an important factor. And so the gastrointestinal microbiota of formula-fed infants, classic standard infant formula, cow's milk based, does not contain any of those biotics. And if you compare then the gastrointestinal microbiota composition of these formula-fed babies to the gastrointestinal microbiota composition of the breastfed baby, it's totally different. And why is that important? It's because a well-balanced gastrointestinal microbiota stimulates the development of a well-balanced immune system. So if you have dysbiosis, a non-healthy gastrointestinal microbiota in your gastrointestinal tract, your risk to develop immune-mediated diseases, allergy is a good example of that, is much higher than if you have a healthy microbiota.
So we take that one step back and say then that formula-fed infants are at higher risk of immune dysregulation than our breastfed infants.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And when did the idea of supplementing formula with human-type biotics come into general use?
Well, that's very recently. That's only for the last 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But non-human prebiotics or probiotics are added to infant formula since more than 20 years, which is also relatively recent, of course, if you imagine the history of infant formula, mm-hmm. which is there for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it all started with the addition of probiotics, which are living microorganisms, added to the infant formula, and they help to colonize the gastrointestinal tract because you are giving living bacteria, which then colonize the gastrointestinal tract.
Mm-hmm.
At the same moment, prebiotics of non-human origin were also added to infant formula. And the difference between both concepts is that prebiotics stimulate the bifidobacteria present already within the gastrointestinal tract of the baby, while the probiotics are foreign microorganisms that you introduce extra within the gastrointestinal tract. But at the end, the effect on the microbiota is quite comparable.
Why not introduce bifidobacterium themselves rather than other species?
Well, so bifidobacteria is one of the probiotics which are added to infant formula and which then are colonizing the gastrointestinal tract.
Okay.
If you look at it on the long term, the difference is also that probiotics do not really colonize. So they stay within your gastrointestinal tract as long as you give it. But if you stop administrating it, 2 weeks later, it disappears. While if you give the prebiotics, that effect seems to persist much longer.
Mm-hmm. And if you give prebiotics and probiotics at the same time, does that prolong the presence of probiotics?
That prolongs the presence and that makes them grow. So that's why in mother's milk you have a mixture of pre and pro. And in fact, to simplify it a little bit, the prebiotics are the food for the probiotics because mm-hmm. the prebiotics, they are used by the bacteria to grow better, to develop, to colonize.
Mm-hmm. All right. But that doesn't take us into the area of postbiotics or of symbiotics.
Yes, indeed. So symbiotics is the mixture of pre and pro.
Every time I think I'm getting somewhere with these concepts, they introduce a new term and I have to start from the beginning. All right, symbiotics are what you've been talking about for the last 2 or 3 minutes, which is the mix of prebiotics and biotics.
Yes.
Okay.
Purely scientifically, in order to be allowed to call it a symbiotic, you need to demonstrate that the combination has an additional benefit than both constituents separately.
Which takes us to SYM rather than to SYN. But we'll leave that alone, as in symbiosis and syn for synthetic. But okay, all right. I'm trying to keep up here.
And then postbiotics that are, in fact, killed probiotics. So the difference is probiotics are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they are difficult to serve. It's difficult to keep them alive. You need good conditions of preservation. For instance, heating of the formula for the baby will kill the probiotic. And so maybe lose the effect. So what happens with postbiotics is you culture them, you let them develop, and then at a certain moment you kill them yourself under well-controlled conditions, and you put that in your formula. So you give dead microbes, but also their metabolites. And it seems that they're metabolites. That's the important part, not the living bacterium itself. It's what they produce, it's what they metabolize, which is having the health benefit. And so with postbiotics, you see, you induce a technically much more easy intervention than with probiotics, because you have no problem of conservation anymore.
Now I really am, it may be only a delusion, but I really am beginning to think that I'm understanding this.
Okay.
I'm happy to be deluded if this is what it brings about. Now, you've undertaken, you and colleagues in Espigan have undertaken a series of reviews of published work that address the effects, the use and the effects of these various substances. Is any of them worth our time?
It sure is.
Okay. Not your studies. I didn't mean it to come out that way. Not your studies themselves, but the products, the biotics.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what I understood.
Okay.
So what is clear from literature is that whatever biotic you administer, you have that effect on the gastrointestinal microbiota composition. So it definitely changes that. Mm-hmm. What we looked at in the papers that we produced for Espigan is at the health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, unfortunately, relatively weak. So the additional health benefits provided by those biotics added to infant formula are quite limited. You see with some of them, prebiotics and human milk oligosaccharides, softening of the stools. So stools that become more likely like the stools in breastfed baby, because we all know that formula-fed infants have harder stools, are more frequently constipated than breastfed babies. So that risk disappears. But since one of the inclusion criteria was that you needed at least two similar trials with the same kind of design, the same primary endpoint, and that the world of these biotics added to infant formula changes so rapid, there are not many of those biotics which have more than two similar trials. So the proof of clinical benefit is relatively limited, while the proof on the beneficial effect on the gastrointestinal microbiota composition is definitely there. And therefore, the recommendations are almost all the time, there is no active recommendation in favor, but also no active recommendation to not do it, because you definitely have that beneficial effect on the gastrointestinal microbiota. And we know that indirectly that has an effect on immune diseases, as I said. But of course, this is also multifactorial. And in those clinical trials, you include 50 infants, 100 infants, but that's nothing related to the real world where it's millions of babies. And immune-mediated diseases, allergy, it's always multifactorial. And so probably that the power for these clinical trials is not sufficient to show these indirectly immunological benefits.
Understood. Well, so the prospect of designing and carrying out such studies is scant.
Yes.
Right. The drug company representative has just visited my office with a beautiful set of fanned out brochures offering this, that, and the other thing. I've got 5 minutes to look through them all and to think about them and to decide what I'm going to start recommending to my patients. Do I say, don't waste your money? Or do I say, go down to the corner store and get a pot of yogurt?
Well, I think those biotics added to infant formula, they are well chosen, by which I mean they are not just blindly chosen by those companies. And a pot of yogurt, we know that the probiotics which are commercially available as product, that they are food supplements and that the quality of these products is very, very, very poor. So there are some good ones, but there are a lot of those products which are just containing almost nothing. So my personal opinion is that we know that difference in gastrointestinal microbiota composition exists between the breastfed infant and the non-supplemented formula-fed infant. We know that bifidobacteria are important early in life. All the studies show safety. Not one adverse effect has been reported. So you could say, I do not do it because the benefit has not been shown clinically. Or you could say, there is an effect on the gastrointestinal microbiota composition, and I know that that has a certain effect on immune system development. It's very safe. So even if the evidence is not hard for a clinically relevant benefit, why should I not do it? Because if I do nothing, I do certainly not improve that microbiota composition. And that's something which I do with adding biotics. Now, whether the pro or pre or sin is the best, that has not been studied at all, and probably it does not make so much difference.
Well, at least we know enough to say, no, you don't go to Aldi. And if you want to do something for your baby, if you want to be more actively involved in ensuring the best nutrition for him or her, this at least won't hurt.
Absolutely.
And I imagine that most mothers are immensely concerned to do the best thing they can for their child. And even if it's only to keep the mother busy, involved, and happy, that's something.
Yes, it is. So breastfeeding is the best way to feed all infants, definitely. But it's also a reality in life that not every woman is able to exclusively breastfeed her baby for 3 or 6 months. And so I think also that every baby who cannot be exclusively breastfed has the right to have an as good second choice infant feeding as possible. And for me, adding biotics to infant formula is one way to bring the second choice closer to the first choice. It will remain a second choice, but it becomes a better second choice.
I think that's useful information, and those are useful guidelines. And I'd like to thank you for presenting them here today.
With pleasure.
Now, with more pleasure, have you selected something that you'd like to add to the Espigan podcast favorite songs list on Spotify?
Well, now you say it. A nice song is in Flemish is If I Ever Had 5 Minutes Time by a Flemish singer, Louis Neves. He died some years ago in a car accident. But so it's a song about, if I ever had some time, I would do it different. And I like the song because I like to be busy.
That sounds just so melancholy. If I ever had 5 minutes time, I'd do things differently. Wouldn't we all?
Probably, yes.
Thank you again.
Pleasure.